Although intellectual doubts are legitimate, the Bible stands up to intense scrutiny. To an open mind, the Bible is true. As we run the race of life, we're confronted by doubters who point to errors in the Bible as a reason not to believe. Today, we take a beginning look at those errors and seek some explanations. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is called Seven Reasons Why the Bible is God's Word. Dr. Lutzer's introductory message is called When God Speaks, and as we'll learn, God speaks even through imperfect grammar.
Would you be shocked if I were to tell you that the Gospel of Mark has some Greek in it that is so rough that it actually contains, Greek scholars tell us, it actually contains what could be called grammatical errors. Would you be surprised at that? You say, well, if it's a grammatical error, then the Bible isn't reliable. No, listen. You folks know that it's possible to make a grammatical error and still be perfectly clear in what you intend to say. In fact, I know some people who do it all the time. I know what they're saying. After all, what is a grammatical error anyway? It's just a deviation from standard usage, you know. There's nothing absolutely correct about the way in which we use grammar. We just like to use it the way most people should use it, that's all. And if someone makes an exception, that doesn't mean that he does not communicate correctly. Now, you'll notice that that's the kind of latitude that God sometimes gave his writers. Now notice that there were those words that were directly dictated. There were those words where a writer was given the ideas and was free to use his own style. And then beyond that, the scriptures even have investigation. Some people did research before they did their writing. Luke says in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, you know, there are many people who have written accounts about Jesus Christ, and I decided to write one in order, having completely investigated all of these events. That's the human side of the Bible. Now, you can understand what happens when you go to university. You students who are studying religion in the different colleges in the Chicago area, you know exactly what I'm going to say now. Scholars take the Bible and they see this humanist, and therefore they assume that the Bible is purely human. It is just a human book, nothing more. They come to all the miracles, they come to the statements of Jesus Christ, and they find ingenious ways to discount those statements so that they can get on with the business of believing that Jesus was nothing more than a mere man and the Bible is a mere human book. And that's why when you study religion in universities, I've done it, I know what I'm talking about, what you find is the Bible is viewed purely as a human book. Now, the fact is that there have been those in the past who sometimes held to a theory of inspiration that says all of the Bible was dictated. It has no human elements in it at all. It was all dictated by God word for word. Well, that's not right either, because as I've already mentioned, you can see the different styles, the different approaches. The fact is, folks, that the Bible is both human and divine. Both human and divine. It has dual authorship. Let me give you a excellent biblical illustration. Christ. Was Christ human or divine? Well, you look at some of the texts. Jesus, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, the scripture says. Tired, God, tired? Yeah. The God-man, tired, yeah. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, it is recorded, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, yet for this cause came I unto this hour. You say, wow, this was God? Now is my soul troubled? Well, the answer is, of course, he was 100% man, 100% man. But he was also 100% God, with also a divine nature. That's why he could say before Abraham was, I am. He was both. People often say, might it be possible for Jesus to have sinned in his humanity because he was man? I get asked that question quite often. And the answer is no, because it was not possible for him to sin as man without implicating deity. The divine nature would have had to be involved in that. You can't just separate the two. Well, the people look at the Bible and they say, the Bible is a human book. Might it have some errors in it just from its humanness? And the answer is no, because although it was written by human beings, it is also inspired, as we shall see in another message, God-breathed. God-breathed. And it is impossible that the Word of God, the breath of God, would be in error. You see that similarity? In fact, there are many similarities between Jesus Christ and the Scriptures. The Word of God and the incarnate Word, both are eternal. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. That's a reference to Christ. The Word was with God. The Word was God. What about the Scriptures? Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Both are conceived of the Holy Spirit. The angel said to Mary, that which is conceived in you shall be of the Holy Spirit. What does the text say right here? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Both of them have authority. It says in Mark 1:22 regarding Christ, he spake as one having authority. You look at the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 1. Hear, O Israel, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. You talk about authority. And both of them are human and divine. And we can't allow the divinity to negate the human, and we cannot allow the human to negate the divine. Someone said this about the Bible, and it could be also said of Christ. A lovely poem, I don't know who wrote it, but I memorized it many years ago. Deep strike thy roots, O heavenly vine, into our earthly sod. Most human, yet most divine, the flower of man and God. When you open your Bible, this book is the flower of man and God. It is a spirit-directed word, a spirit-revealed word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's what you have in your hands, a book from God. Now, God is in the writing business, and many people don't read what he writes. Isn't that awful? God has become an author. And even though we have translations in English more than we can possibly count or enumerate, many people do not read God's letter. Can you imagine the insult? Imagine the insult. You know, it's one thing for me to write a book and to discover that no one in my family has read it. That happens all the time. My kids brag about the fact I've never read any of Dad's books. I can take it. I can take it. God writes a book. God moves upon authors that they might write accurately his will for men. And the Bible remains closed. How do you think God feels? How do you think God feels? He writes a love letter. People don't read it. Couple of conclusions. First of all, the Bible obviously is a book of answers. It is not a book of questions. Isn't that nice to know that? We got a lot of books that raise a lot of questions. The Bible is a book of answers. Do you want to know how you can be at peace with God? Do you want to know how you can have a relationship with him? Do you want to know where you're going to spend eternity and what kinds of eternity there really is? Do you want to know whether or not God really loves the world? Do you want to know whether the world is controlled by God or the devil or both or how they interact? All of that is in this book. It can be found nowhere else. Nowhere else. Secondly, The Bible speaks to us today. Speaks to us. Some of you say, oh, I wish that my way were blessed. I wish that my paths were honored of the Lord. Well, what does it say in Psalm 1? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now there's a promise for you if your delight is in the law of the Lord. Delight in the law of the Lord. The scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Imagine that statement for inspiration of scriptures. Because you see, inspiration means that God so superintended the human authors that without destroying their individuality, they recorded accurately that which he would have them write, and so much so that Christ could say, we should live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And he's quoting the book of Deuteronomy. Quoting Deuteronomy. You say, well, I have no appetite for the book. None. Don't see its relevance. I just listened to a preacher recently say, my people aren't interested in the Bible. They don't care what the Bible has to say, and that's why you shouldn't preach the Bible, he said. You have to preach what they are interested in. Well, he may be true, but he's not persuaded me to change what I'm going to preach. Because this is the Word of God. You don't have an appetite. You know why? My mother used to always tell me, you know, don't eat before a meal. Don't eat before a meal. Don't eat all those sweets because it'll spoil your appetite. Here are people who are hung up on their computers and their television sets and this great idea and that great idea, and therefore all of the appetite for things that are pure and good and lovely and wholesome is squelched. I hope that during this series of messages that one of the things that God would do is to enliven our appetite for the book so that we can't really go through a day without it. That the more we're in it and the more we learn it, the more it grows on us until we say, oh God, I can't live apart from the Word. Some of you may not be interested in the Bible for another reason. You have not yet been born of the Spirit. The same Spirit that inscripturated the Word of God, that moved the authors, that carried them along, is the same Word and the same Spirit by which we are born again. It says in the book of James, of his own will he begat us through the Word of truth. And Peter talks about being born again of the Spirit. The Word of God and the Spirit of God coming together to do a miracle of God in the hearts of those who are open, who are being wooed by His love.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer has concluded When God Speaks, the first of 8 messages in his series, 7 Reasons Why the Bible is God's Word. Tomorrow, the first of those 7 reasons, the claims of the Bible. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series is now in print as 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, and this book can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win, Box 11-174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.